Do it. Let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 12. We're going to get this thing rolling here. We're going to talk about this God we serve and His power. God is powerful. Do I get an amen? Amen. Guys, have you ever had an enemy in your life that just seemed like he or she was messing up everything all around you? And man, you just wish somehow that person could be removed from where you are so that they're not messing everything up? Can you think of somebody? Now, I don't want you to dwell on this because we don't want to dwell in an area of unforgiveness, okay? I just want you to touch on it for just a second. Somebody in your life that might have taken up that role, because I just want you to know you don't need to despair about it. You don't need to despair about it because God's got the power. He's the one that's got the power. I'm going to tell you a little story here real quick, and I may have somebody come and disagree with me on this later on about my conclusion to this story, because I've had a couple people that have not agreed with me on my conclusion to this story, but I'm going to tell it real quick, okay? There was a guy, you guys might know this guy, his name was Adolf Hitler. Do y'all remember anything about him? You know, there's actually a whole group of people coming out of school right now in some of the schools in our nation that don't know who Adolf Hitler is, and we need to make sure that that's corrected. We all need to know who Adolf Hitler is, because we would never want to allow another man like him to ever have control anywhere in the world again, okay? And he won by like one vote, from what I can understand. I mean, it was just ridiculous how it's so sad that the world had to go through such suffering because of Adolf Hitler. But here's the deal. We need to learn from our mistakes of allowing a man to have power like him. But here's the deal. Along the way, he tried to win kind of the adoration of the churches. He wanted the churches to go along with him, and he would either try to sweet-talk them in and tell them what a blessing it would be to them, and he'd say, look, the Jews are kind of your enemy too. They're the ones who killed Jesus, and so like you guys need to be okay with us going ahead and killing these Jews. And so here's what would happen in a lot of the churches across Germany. Germany was a very Christian place, but in a lot of the churches across Germany, whenever they would hear the boxcars loaded with Jews going by, the Jews would be screaming. They were actually taking them to the concentration camps, and some of them to be exterminated immediately. And there were a lot of suffering. As they rode by the churches, who would be along the rail tracks sometimes, they would just say to the church, sing louder, sing louder. So they would sing in their church inside their four walls, and they would ignore the cries of the individuals who were dying. And I can tell you, we as a church should never do that. That's why we have the life chain. We're not just going to sing louder while a whole generation of people are being exterminated. We have had over 60 million unborn children exterminated in the United States of America already, and it needs to stop now. Okay? And I'm going to speak loudly, and I'm going to speak clearly, and I'm going to be firm about it because it needs to stop now. God is not okay with it. That is not choice that we are advocating. It's murder. It is murder of the most innocent of people. Okay, so as the boxcars went by and the church sang louder, they ignored the cries. But there was this one particular gentleman. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was his name, and he was a Lutheran pastor. And man, I'm going to tell you, I have got great adoration and respect for him, because he absolutely said, even if you kill me, I'm not going to go along with this nonsense. And he continued to criticize what the Nazi government was doing, and he continued to stand firm. But right toward a certain point, Dietrich started to get pretty desperate. Okay, now I want you to understand, the government has been given the sword to keep the peace and protect the people. The government has been given the sword. There are people who are established and ordained by God to hold a sword to keep the peace. I believe that our government structure would show that policemen hold that position, and so does our military. And so God has established them to help those who cannot help themselves and to kind of keep order and peace in the world. Now, they don't always do it perfectly, because, quite simply put, we're people and we mess up. But we need to understand, they're the ones giving the sword. Well, Dietrich got a little upset, to say the least. He got to feeling desperate, and so he joined in an attempt for somebody other than the government to step in and try to kill Adolf Hitler. Okay? I think for just a moment, and you know, you might argue with me about this, and you might say that he was the right guy to do it, but I'll tell you what wound up happening to Dietrich. He wound up getting hanged over this whole deal. They got caught, they got found out, he got hanged, and I probably would butcher up the details if I tried to tell any more than that this morning, but those are the raw facts. And just not long after that, the Allied forces broke through, and Adolf Hitler was removed. And I would say that like we can get to feeling like that about abortion sometimes. Man, this has got to stop, and we feel panicked. And sometimes people do stupid things, and I'm just telling you, that's never a good idea. You know, we had some fake bombs or whatever they were that were going to be delivered to all these different people that were in places of authority and power this past week. How stupid was that? That was just ridiculous. That is not the way to handle it. The way we handle it is by standing for our beliefs. We have the freedom of speech. We have the freedom to assemble. We have the freedom of religion. And we've got the most powerful being in the universe at our disposal. We need to pray. And if we'll pray and we will do our part, I believe God's going to do what we're asking of Him. Do you give me an amen to that? God is able. God is powerful. There is nothing about God that has weakened His power and His ability to save. You know, that a lot of people would say, well, then why is the devil still here? Well, we're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to talk about that this morning. And I'm going to give you an answer to that. Part of the reason, though, is because we keep choosing to keep Him around. We keep saying, maybe a little bit of that in my life's okay. No, it ain't! The devil is bad all the way down the line. He's bad to the core. He's never your friend, and he's never going to give you anything. Reject him wholesale in your life. Get rid of everything you know he's in. Stop the sin. Start following Jesus. And you won't do it perfectly, and when you don't, repent. He gives you forgiveness and grace and cleansing, and let's continue on with Jesus, but let's reject the devil in our lives. I kind of view some of this Halloween stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, guys, why are we celebrating death? And stuff that's evil? Don't do it. Celebrate God. If you can do that and go get candy, then okay, I'm not going to say what you need to do. But what I'm saying is where we need to be. We need to make sure that we are celebrating Jesus all the way with our whole life. And so here we've got this situation, and so we're going to be in Acts chapter 12, and we're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to jump down to 18. Well, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll jump down to 18. So let's read Acts chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Okay, now this wasn't the exact same Herod that the whole story about Jesus started out with, okay? But it was part of his family. And I'm just going to tell you, this guy was like a sore, you know? This whole line of Herods, they were like a sore on the people of the Jewish people and the people of that area. I'm telling you, these guys were wicked and evil. They were bad news. And in fact, the first one, he wound up killing some of his sons because he thought they might challenge him for power. I mean, this is how evil these guys were. And so this is one in the line of them that's controlling a certain area, and so he stretches out his hand to harass some from the church, and then in verse 2, then he killed James the brother of John with the sword. Okay, he saw that it made those Jews who were still opposing the gospel happy, and so then he went ahead and took up Peter, and we just read last week he couldn't hold Peter. Okay. Because our God's the chain breaker, amen? And so those chains that held Peter fell off, and Peter walked right out through the guards. I don't know how God did it. He put him in a trance or something. In fact, we know that Peter felt like he was in a trance because nobody in their right mind would walk through the door that the two guards are standing by, but only with God on their side, only with God leading them and holding their hand. And so he was able to do it. And now we're going to talk a little bit more about this Herod, because you see, Herod was still causing trouble. He was still this guy that just continued to cause trouble because, just like the devil, he was just doing what he did, and he kept doing what he always does. And that's what the devil's always about. And this Herod was a follower of him, and so he did what his father was doing, the devil. So let's jump down to verse 18. So as soon as it was day, there was no small stir, okay? They found out Peter was gone, and the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. You think Herod might have been a little bit of a problem? Absolutely. He wielded a lot of power. And I'm just going to tell you, he had fear over everybody that was under him, and this is the way he kept it. This was the power he had. He said, all right, you guards, you let him escape. Off with their heads. And he'd just have them killed. Okay, this is the kind of power this guy had. I'm sure everybody around him was afraid of him. But he commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and he stayed there. And there's a lot of talk about why he left Judea and went to Caesarea. Some would say because he was embarrassed. He couldn't even hang on to Peter, you know, so it embarrassed him. It made him look weak. Others felt like he was fearful because he had already seen what had happened to part of the rest of his family whenever you oppose God. So maybe he'd started to say, okay, well, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. We don't know for sure, but we just know he did. And now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them, and the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Imagine him saying that. They kept doing it. It means repeatedly. Voice of a god and not a man. The voice of a god and not a man. They were worshiping this man. Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give the glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. I mean, like right there before everybody. Sounds gross, don't it? It really does. It sounds gross, but it's true. And the reason why it was done like that, did you ever find anything that was being eaten with worms? What does it do to you? Which, by the way, don't put trash in that big round can out there. The trash man don't pick that big round can up no more. You might know why I'm saying that. Because I had to pull some stuff out the other day. And I'm just saying, when something's being eaten by worms, it really makes you sick. And everybody that was looking at this one whom they were worshiping got to see he wasn't a god after all. The worms ate him just like they're going to eat all the rest of us after our bodies die, okay? So he wasn't a god. God proved his point. I think he did a pretty good job of it, don't you all think? And so the word of God grew and multiplied. Do I get an amen to that? It shows what God's purpose in everything he does is. His purpose is to make much of him so that others will believe in him and be saved, and the word of God will be multiplied through that way. The church will be multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. Remember, they were up at Antioch, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Guys, let's take a look at this. The same man who killed James, right? The same man who killed James, the brother of John, God didn't kill him then. He sure could have. He could have removed him. We just saw. He removed him like that. And usually it takes days before the worms eat you, but this dude, the worms ate him, I believe, right there in front of everybody. I think he died, he dropped over, and when they walked up there to pick him up, they went, ugh. Better not be trying to, you know, compete with God for his glory anymore, amen? And it brought a fear of God over the people, and God began to believe, or people began to believe in God. Why didn't he do that before James was killed? Big question, man. Because he had a purpose in James' death. Where'd James go right as he was killed? Anybody tell me? Immediately. He was before Jesus. He was exactly where he longed to be. See, it wasn't to hurt James. I hear this all the time at funerals. People will look at the dead person and they'll say, "That's such a shame. They were such a good person and they believed in God. Why did God let this happen to them?" Guys, we're looking at it all wrong if that's what we're thinking. You see, that person is in a way better place if that's true of them. If they really did belong to God, God said, "My beloved, come home." And that day with James, he said, "My beloved, come home." And if you read the rest of the story, the fact the church was being persecuted just spread the church all over the known world. It was like he let the devil stomp on the flame so it would spread. And you know, it was a blessing to James, so God didn't do nobody no harm. Amen? God was helping the church, and God was helping James, and God let Peter be taken in by him. And why? Because he had a plan for Peter, and it wasn't to die yet, but to set him free. You see, you know why Herod continued to live? It's because he was still serving God even though he didn't know it. And as soon as his purpose for God was over, God removed him. And I just want you to know that there ain't no bad guy on this earth that God can't take out right now as we speak. And if the shoe fits, that also means ourselves. So we really want to be careful that we do not oppose God in His work. And we do not take God lightly. Do you know that there's some people that walk among us and they look like us and they talk like us, and all of a sudden they decide it might be better to follow Jesus or follow the devil than Jesus? I've seen it happen. And I would tell you, if you ever consider it, beware. Beware. Because God is an almighty God. He is an all-consuming fire. And I can tell you that if we oppose Him and we try to take His glory, it won't be good for any of us. So if you are truly a child of God, I don't believe you could really do that. But I can't really judge whether that person was a child of God that did it. And it's happened more than once, so I'm warning you, don't do it. You better fear God and follow Him rightly. Amen? If you got something in your life you know you need to get right, I think today would be a good day to do it. What do y'all think? You see, whenever God calls your card due, it's due. They're not like the library down here. Have you ever had an overdue library book? Come on now, admit it. Did you ever have that parking ticket that you never paid? Huh? And then you said, well, as long as I don't go back into there, it'll be all right. Even that speeding ticket in a particular state, yeah, I'm getting going now, Yeah, Just because you don't go back into this state don't mean God didn't know about it. So God's not like that, okay? So let's make sure we stay right with God and we stay in short accounts with Him. Let's make sure, because God's a powerful God. He's an all-consuming fire. Have you seen all the signs around here with the fire on them? We're talking about God, who He is. You see, we give the fire to the devil all the time. We say, well, he's the king of that their hell place. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's really not going to be the king of nothing in the end. Amen? He acts like he's got all this power. But I can tell you that he fits in the same place that this Herod fits. So I just want you to know that every living being that exists was created by God, and he has a purpose for everything. Guys, you know why the devil still exists? Because he's still got a purpose for him. Do you know God created the devil? That kind of freaks people out whenever you tell them that. God created the devil. He didn't create him to be bad. And the devil decided he'd rather follow his own ways. Go ahead on the next slide there, Daniel. He's got a purpose for everything he creates. And as long as he's still got a purpose for us, we're going to continue to exist until our purpose is done, and then we're not going to continue to exist on this world. And if you're a believer in God, it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you, and if you're not, it's going to be the worst thing that ever happened to you. If you're a believer in God, this is the worst thing you'll ever see is this earth. If you're not a believer in God, this is the best thing you'll ever see is this earth, because hell is way worse. And so whenever people tell me, they say, well, preacher, I'm not really too awful afraid of that because I'm living in hell right now. I say, this is the best day you'll ever see for all of eternity. You need to listen, because God said that there's weeping and gnashing of teeth that never ends there. So what we need to understand, guys, is God has got a good plan for us, and we need to be all about doing His plan. But even if you don't believe in Him, He'll still use you until He's done with His plan for you, and Herod's plan was done. Why does the devil still exist? Because he still has a plan for him. Don't misunderstand me. He didn't create things to be evil. Next slide. His creation is all good. If you look at Genesis chapter 1:31, after everything was created, he said, it is very, very good. You see, God created things to be good, but things he creates are given a freedom to choose what or who we will follow. Y'all remember how Adam and Eve were in the garden, and he said, you can eat every tree of the garden? You can eat from every fruit of the garden except for that one tree. So what did they go and eat from? And they were deceived by the one who had just been thrown out of heaven. And why was he thrown out of heaven? Because he wanted the glory for him. Pulled the same stunt that he obviously had deceived Herod into pulling here, and he was thrown out of heaven, and so he just wanted to make everybody else. In fact, he wanted to make everybody else be miserable like him. Misery loves company. If we look at Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 and 13, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. What does the son of the morning sound like? It sounds like he was created to be good, doesn't it? Morning's a beautiful thing. It's a bright light, right? He He says, how you are cut down from the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. So that's what Satan had in his heart. And that's why he can no longer reside in heaven. And you know what? He gets behind kings on earth as well. And this is to the king of Babylon, because Satan was the one who was inspiring him to be the one that he was. Who do you think inspired a man like Adolf Hitler? It wasn't just Hitler doing that as a free agent. We had the devil way behind that. And you know what? Whenever God was done with Hitler, Hitler existed no more. Do you know that the whole Holocaust thing, and to us, the sight of heaven, it was the worst thing we could have imagined, but do you know it was a chance for the Christians to go in and to minister to the Jews who were unbelieving for the most part? And many Jews came to faith through that time and are still coming to faith today because of the way the Christians ministered to them. Did God use it? Absolutely. You see, God has a plan that's much bigger than our plan, and so we need to understand until he's done with us, we're going to be here. And when he's done with us, it's time for us to go. Just make sure you're right with God and ready to go. Amen? Every day, because we don't know. That could be today. I didn't know that Geraldine was going to die on Tuesday. Did you know that? I didn't. She did. Because it was time. You know, God kept her there. We were on the way home from Springfield, Missouri, from the Missouri Baptist Convention, and we rushed home from the time we got the call before we got to Rolla. We rushed home. We made it there. We prayed over her. Shelly sang a song to her, and she drew her last breath as we were praying. God, he was even over the timing, and he gave us enough time to be there, and a lot of her family was around her. It was a beautiful thing. God was done with her purpose on earth. He said, come home, my child. It was a beautiful time, beautiful thing. So why doesn't God just get rid of Satan? I went ahead and used some improper language on this. Because it just ain't time yet. Do I get an amen to that? You know, he still has a purpose for him. You just look at an example. He can do it whenever he's ready. He tells us how he's going to do it. Right here in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into a bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that, and I underline this so you'll catch this, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. You see, God even holds him for 1,000 years where he can't be deceiving nobody until he's got a purpose for him to rise again. And then after that all happens, you see, then Satan is the deceiver of the ones who reject God. He allows him to come out only for a time. And then his destruction will be absolutely final. In fact, Jesus, he proclaimed it himself. He said, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. If possible, if you're the elect, you want to praise God right now because he can't deceive you, because it's if possible. Don't even let him have a chance. You keep your eyes on God and his word and you'll be fine. People fear the end times and they say, oh man, I hope I'm not alive during that time and all this and that and the other. Guys, here's the deal. Stay with Jesus and it won't matter. You'll be safe. You'll be safe. Because, you know, if you're with God, he can't deceive you in the same way that he can the rest. But then we look at Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain the God in their knowledge, he gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. And you see, people are deceived by Satan because they willingly put themselves in that position and they continue on with him. And dare I say, even some people in the church. So just don't put yourself there. You won't have to worry about it. But I do want to just make sure that you understand that if you read the rest of the book, the very end of Revelation, you're going to see Satan finally gets what he's got coming. That lake of fire is prepared for him and all of his demons, and he's going to be thrown into it, and it's going to be final, and he's not the king there. You see, he's a prisoner there. And you see, what's going to happen is, unfortunately, everybody who rejects Jesus is going there too. And so from that respect, we persuade men, because we know the fear of the Lord, but we know God could remove Satan anytime he wanted to. And if we look at, what about, you know, how about Herod? I think we can kind of apply this to Jesus as well. He was allowed by God. Or, I'm sorry, apply this whole thing between what God's going to do with the devil to what we saw that he did with Herod. He was allowed by God to send James, the brother of John, to heaven. Do I get an amen to that? You see, it don't look so bad when you say it like that. He couldn't hold Peter in prison or lay a hand on him. So how much power did he really have? He had no power over God. And then God removed him when his time was fulfilled. End of story. God can still do it today. So keep praying about those things we need to see happen, right? Don't be in despair. Don't take it into your own hands. Let's continue to pray. God can do it. Acts chapter 12, verses 21 through 24 kind of shows us that. And so what was his main crime? Underlined, because he did not give glory to God. So I would implore you today, use that as one of your main points. Make sure you're giving glory to God in your life. Amen? That's where you're going to be in the best place ever. And then we take the picture of heaven from the end of Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. There's still some more revelation there. It's all good stuff after this. This is kind of the crowning achievement, the one we're all looking forward to, the devil who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire. We can go ahead and applaud right now, because the day is due and it's going to come, and it's a final judgment where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Don't let anybody ever argue with you that hell isn't for real and that hell isn't forever, because the Bible just said so. How long are they going to be tormented? Forever and forever. Could God have been more clear? And I end with this. It's in your bulletin. Why pray? Because I'm just going to tell you, we don't have the power to change everything, but God does. So God has a will, the Heavenly Father. He sends it to us through the Holy Spirit. We are the one right here, the Christian, who receives that direction, and we pray it back through Jesus Christ, back to the throne, and God does it. Don't you know the church was praying that day, Lord, why don't you just remove Herod? And when it was time, he did it. We serve the same God today. Where do you stand with him? If he could kill a man and have him eaten up with worms that day, that instant, I believe right before those people, do you think he's any different today? Do you think he has any less power today? Absolutely not. Please do not stand in his way. Please. I implore you, that word means beg. I beg you today, give your life to Jesus and start living the greatest joy you've ever found. And I don't mean your life will be perfect, guys. It don't get perfect just because you believe in Jesus. In fact, some of your struggles might get worse on the outside, but you'll be way better on the inside. Because you'll know he's with you and in you. So let's live for him today, and then we've got no worries about the judgment of God. We can live for him with all our heart then. Let me pray. Dear God, today's the day. You gave us today. It's the best day I've ever had. Lord, because you gave it to me today. Lord, help us to live in today. Help us live our life for you to bring you glory today and forevermore. Lord, I pray that you would bless this congregation, that any decisions need to be made in this congregation, that they wouldn't put it off another day. I wonder how many times you might have even warned Herod to stop what he was doing, the direction he was going. I don't know. I know Pontius Pilate had some warnings. His wife even came to him and said, had nothing to do with this man, because I was really afflicted in a dream over him. Lord, you were giving them warnings and they disregarded it. Please don't let us do that. Don't let us disregard your warnings. In Jesus' name. Lord, if there's anybody here that needs to give their life to you, let it happen today. Amen.